This Israel report is brought to you by the Blue Agency. Your Israel property is in good hands. Owning properties in Israel can be a great investment, but challenging to manage if you are based abroad. The Blue Agency will manage every aspect of your property, finding and vetting tenants, maintaining your property and getting it rental ready, negotiating contracts and collecting rentals, reporting back to you regularly. The Blue Agency has built a reputation for trust and confidentiality over 20 years. The Blue Agency, your Israel property is in good hands. Contact us at www.theblueagency.com.
7:44. I'm Howard Feldman. Good morning. This morning's Israel Report brought to you by Yigal Marcus. He's a director of Republicans Overseas Israel. Yigal, a very, very good morning. Thank you for joining us. I am so confused with regard to the United States and Iran. All of a sudden, it seems to be about nuclear talks. That didn't seem to be what we thought this was about. Can you help put this into context for us?
Absolutely. First of all, great being with you again. Thank you for having me. So at the end of the day, Donald Trump, you know, is always going to try to use diplomacy before we put the lives of our young men and women in danger in executing any kind of attack. And if you really think about it, he has put himself in a position of supreme strength in a potential negotiation. Now, do I think the negotiations are going to succeed? I think the answer is no. But I think that he owes it to his men and women in uniform to, and frankly, to everyone involved, to try and give it a diplomatic push. Now, it's interesting that he wants to help the people of Iran, and that's really the essence of this. He made a commitment to them, and so he sent this huge armada of military materiel and soldiers and planes to the Middle East. It's actually, we have more materiel now there than we did during the Second Gulf War. And so he has really put the pressure on the Iranian regime. Now, do I think the Iranian regime survives? I don't think so, but I do think that he wants to at least put on the image of trying to get to a negotiated solution. I don't think that, and I think he realizes that to leave a regime in power that just killed, you know, I mean, there are different reports, but, you know, 35,000 people and injured 350,000 people, I don't know that he keeps that regime in power. But at the very least, he can ask for anything that he wants. And if he doesn't get every single thing that he wants, then Israel and the U.S. could put a very quick end to that regime. And reports came out this morning that the Iranian regime is actually very concerned that should and when the U.S. and Israel strike, that'll reignite all of the demonstrations, and that would effectively put an end to the regime.
Do you think that there is some kind of a concern that we are unaware of? For example, that Iran has some form of nuclear capability?
Yeah, I think there's a concern. We know that there's a concern because the U.S. sent in, there's a particular plane that they sent in that analyzes the ground for nuclear and radioactive, material, I guess. And so they wouldn't send that in unless that was a possibility, although I'm not particularly worried about it, but you know, you never know with this regime. You never know. And that's why should America make the decision to attack, it will be fierce, ferocious, and really, really hit them very, very, very hard.
They ultimately will have no choice because it is a genocidal regime, and in terms of I would imagine, given their religious extremism, that they would rather go down in flames, taking everybody, including Israel, with them, than simply just hand over power.
Well, you know, this is a story that repeats itself many times in Jewish history. And we just read about it last week in the Parsha, when Egyptians and their hubris decided to chase the Jewish people into the splitting sea. That didn't end well for them. It didn't end well for Haman. It didn't end well for the Nazis. So, yeah, but this is a story that's repeated itself. And so I have the confidence that in every generation, you know, bad people try to rise up against us. And more often than not, it's their hubris which undermines them and defeats them.
Do you think that this is the delay, in other words, this meeting that is meant to take place still on Friday, is that a delay that works for the United States and Israel? Is that part of this plan or program?
Yeah, I do. I mean, Israel's already this week done multiple sudden practice runs preparing for a potential Iranian attack. They've had these drills with the army and the local emergency, you know, Magen David Adom and other emergency responses. So yeah, I do think that it's giving them time to really prepare for every scenario.
Do we know what is happening? You referred to the protests earlier. Do we have any more information about what is happening in terms of the protests, in terms of the persecution of the protesters in Iran?
I have not read anything recently that is different. I know there's toward because he has not yet responded and delivered the help that he promised. But I have not read of any additional verifiable accounts of demonstrations, although I know that the regime is extraordinarily concerned about that happening again and getting more and more conversations with people on the ground out. Eyewitness accounts of what happened. We know it was terrible. We know it really was genocidal. Of course, crickets from the United Nations and from all the nations who loved to jump on
I still can't get over that.
I still genocide is actually happening.
Yeah, it's still absolutely unfathomable to me that the so-called human rights activists are silent. The only way it would seem that they can try to justify it is to say that it was Mossad or Israel inspired, even though I think everybody knows whereas Mossad might or might not have been involved on some level with some level of support, the issue is that the Iranian government is oppressing and murdering its people. But the fact that the United Nations has once again showed itself to be so spectacularly either weak or corrupt, surely has got to be another nail in the coffin of this organization.
Absolutely. It's almost comical. You know, last year there were, 15 condemnations of Israel and one condemnation of Iran. Iran kills 35,000 people, injures 350,000 people, using live firepower on its own people, and they are absolutely silent. We know the United Nations is a completely corrupt, anti-Semitic institution. It's all about the Jews. They hate them. They hate us. They have done everything in their power to undermine us. And so this is just absolute proof, in case anybody had any questions about that. This is absolute proof that this is an organization that really needs to cease to exist, because they are just totally incompetent in their mission, and as a result, all they do is facilitate bad things happening instead of actually doing what they're supposed to do, which is intervene and prevent war. But because of their policies, war is the danger of war is much greater today than it has been in recent memory.
Let's just talk for a moment about Qatar. They are backing Iranian diplomacy. That obviously they are exactly one of those players that we have every reason to be concerned about. What does this mean?
Yeah, first of all, I mean, let's not beat around the bush. Qatar is an enemy of the Jewish people, an enemy of the state of Israel, and frankly, they are a benevolent enemy of the United States of America. They don't share our values. They try to poison our children in schools, funding. You know, it's interesting. Qatar pays more in lobbying in Washington, D.C. than AIPAC exponentially. Like, they spend, I think, five times more than the AIPAC is funded, and yet the Tucker Carlsons of the world say that the Jews control Congress. It's insane. But they are no friend. But what you do see, which is very interesting, is a power struggle now in mm-hmm. that region. And they're very smart, and they realize that Iran is on the decline, and there is going to be a void in power. And so what they're trying to do is to fill that void with their different form of a poisonous hegemony. So, you know, it's interesting to see what they're doing, but let's not beat around the bush. They are no friend of America. Mm. They are no friend of Israel. They are just trying to take advantage of the situation.
Do you think that they, given the last couple of years where they have been called out quite a lot for who they are, do you think that there has been anything gained by the or changed in their behavior?
No. No, because you still see the funding flowing in. You still see them take both sides of every of a conflict. On one hand, they're discouraging the U.S. from attacking and defending the millions of protesters who took to the streets. And on the other side of it, they're trying to replace Iran as a power broker in the Middle East. They have not changed. Their tactics are evolving, but their mission has not changed, and that makes them dangerous. And that's why, you know, we have to operate with our eyes wide open. Again, Qatar is an enemy of Israel, and it's an enemy of the United States of America, but they do it with a smile, and they do it with, you know, $450 million, you know, presidential planes and bribery, which may work in the Middle East, but at some point it ain't going to work, and they're going to be uncovered, so to speak.
The one bit of consolation that I have is that if we can see that this whole their duplicitous behavior, where we can see what is really happening in Iran, surely both Israel and the United States, who have a lot more information than I have and that we have, would be able to see the same thing and understand it a lot better.
100%, and there is a lot more to the eye right now that we are seeing, and I think that more and more will be disclosed, and more will be uncovered in the coming weeks and potentially months. But we don't know the entire story. There's a lot more going on here. But I will say this, that this is a historic opportunity. This is, you know, Ambassador Huckabee yesterday said that the Iranian opportunity, bringing down that regime, is a defining moment in President Trump's career and in his legacy, and he's right. Imagine the Middle East where Iran is not funding proxies,
incredible,
not causing this
absolutely unbelievable to think about.
It would be an unbelievable part of the world. It would emerge as a major economic center, especially for Israel. But Israel, in the middle of this great, you know, this great region, I think the opportunity is huge and really historic in nature. And I imagine what, you know, anticipating what it's going to be like waking up in the morning with my family here in Israel and not having these threats hover over us and being able to actually do significant business and having significant relations with so many great nations that are in the region. That would be historic and amazing. And that's not an opportunity that President Trump and Prime Minister Netanyahu can so readily let go by, you know, let pass. So I'm optimistic, and I think that we're going to see a big change. but how it specifically evolves, we're going to know in the next days and weeks and months.
That is where we leave it, Yigal Marcus. Thank you for that, Director of Republicans Overseas Israel, talking to us about the situation specifically with regard to Iran, with regard to Qatar and the region. It is 7:58.
That Israel Report was brought to you by the Blue Agency. Your Israel property is in good hands. Owning properties in Israel can be a great investment, but challenging to manage if you are based abroad. The Blue Agency will manage every aspect of your property, finding and vetting tenants, maintaining your property and getting it rental ready, negotiating contracts and collecting rentals, reporting back to you regularly. The Blue Agency has built a reputation for trust and confidentiality over 20 years. The Blue Agency, your Israel property is in good hands. Contact us at www.theblueagency.com.